Season's greetings to you all, and welcome to the One Recourse Radio Podcast, where we're your number one source for business entertainment. We're really excited to have you today, and we want to wish you all a happy holidays and a happy new year, depending on when you hear this episode. We had an opportunity to catch a rising star, and that's none other than Miss Crystal Stone of the Stone Truth Podcast, a former award winner, or let's say winner of a contest on ESPN, where she was able to come on the ESPN one of the flag shows, First Take, and have a head-to-head conversation with Stephen A. Smith, where she did an incredible job. So from the past, it spun off her career. She's become a media personality, and she's just been doing a great job in giving content and information in the sports arena. So we felt that being that we're right in the thick of all the sports. NFL is about to go into the playoffs. NBA is about to go close to All-Star Weekend. So, you know, most teams are about 30 games in. So it's Bowl Championship Week. Everything's going on right now. We felt it would have been an amazing time to get a hold of Miss Crystal Stone and have her share her insight, her incredible expertise at analyzing all different types of sports, and giving her the insight that we need to have a better understanding and get it in a truthful way. So let's go ahead and get it right into the show.
Well, all right. Welcome, everybody, to the One Recourse Radio Podcast, where we're your number one source for business entertainment. We're here again for another stellar episode where we're trending today. We're here to talk about our trending topics. This is our trending topic segment. So we got a lovely guest. We got a lot of good talk to talk about. And before we go ahead and start introducing everybody, I must introduce my co-host, Mr. Dennis Buchanan, CEO of One Recourse. How we doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm happy about this topic as it regarding some sports, because it just reminds me, you know, my two favorite things to talk about are sports and music. And in all seriousness, I'm definitely glad to have our guest on today, and I have a feeling we're all going to be entertained and educated, especially me.
Yes, absolutely. So for all of our listeners out there, we know Dennis is actually lying out of his face, because we know he's not about that life. But we got somebody today that is about that life. So we're going to get it going today. Before we formally issue, we just got to go down the rap sheet. You know, we got to go down the rap sheet because we got to set the proper foundation. Because when you got somebody that is as knowledgeable as who we're about to introduce in the sports arena and can talk that talk and can talk most men and women underneath the table when it comes to the sports, you got to recognize real when it comes down to it. So we have a person on here who has a background in sports, then started to pursue a acting career, still pursues the acting career, took that sports and acting career, then turned it into becoming a media personality. For those that are avid YouTube watchers, avid ESPN consumers, you might have seen her on First Take, giving Stephen A. Smith the business. And then from there, she turned around and started her own podcast called The Stone Truth. So we want to welcome to the show Miss Crystal Stone of The Stone Truth Podcast. How are we doing today?
I'm doing very well, Mitch. Thank you so much for having me, and Dennis, you too. Thank you, guys. I'm very excited.
We're excited to have you because we're about to get into it. I've been excited to have somebody that can talk sports with me, because Dennis has not been doing the best businessman you'll probably meet. Sports, we working on it. You know, we got him in the 12-step program. He's in step three. So, hopefully you'll be step four and you can cross him over.
It's bad.
I'll try my best.
So before we get into it, we got to educate our listeners on your podcast, because we just feel that your podcast delivers some great content that I think everybody needs to know about. So tell us a little bit about the podcast and, you know, what came to the creation of the platform.
Well, it's called The Stone Truth. Obviously, my last name is Stone, and I tell the truth. And my podcast is basically me giving my take on the hot sports topics around the leagues, whether it's NBA, NFL, baseball, you name it. And I started the podcast after having appeared on ESPN First Take back in January. And it was advised to me to start my own platform to talk about sports as much as I want. And it kind of controlled the content. And so I do it weekly. You can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spreaker, wherever you get your podcast. And I also do a little work on YouTube with some cool content where I give my take on some of the hot sports topics, whether it's coming from a knowledgeable base or sometimes I come from a very emotional place, especially when it comes to my Dallas Cowboys. But I always keep it real. I always tell the truth. I always give my honest opinion, and that's what the Stone Truth is all about.
Oh, that's what's up, man. I like the name. I like the name.
Say hi.
Hi.
I'm Miley.
I'm Miley.
And when I'm hanging out with my daddy, I listen to the one
recourse
radio
podcast
your
number one
source for business
entertainment.
So, I mean, so we got a little idea where the inspiration for you to start your podcast came from. But where did your love for sports develop?
Well, I would say when I was a little girl. I grew up here in Dallas, Texas, which if you're from Dallas or been in Dallas, Dallas is all about the Dallas Cowboys. So I grew up loving the Dallas Cowboys. I was the only girl in my family and also the only girl on my street growing up. So going outside to play meant I had to play football. I had to play some form of football with my brothers and all the boys on the street, or play basketball or racing or wrestling. Wrestling was big when I was little. So that continued on, that competitive spirit continued on through middle school, high school. I've always loved sports. I've always played sports. And I would say in the last several years, I've come to really like talking about sports and debating about sports. So it was just a natural transition for me.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about your background. And, you know, we know, like you said, you've been around sports. You came to New York. You developed I looked at the resume, a very productive acting career. How does that all play into, you know, this now current move and having a podcast and everything that you're doing in the sports and media whole platform?
Yeah, so I started studying acting when I was younger, and I got my degree in acting from the University of Texas in Austin. And right after I graduated, I moved to New York to pursue an acting career, get into show business.
Okay.
So I did that. I have been doing that since I've been here and sort of working full time in other ventures at the same time. But the sports thing sort of kind of found me as far as the sports media situation, because, you know, I hold down a full time job as an executive assistant. And on the side, I pursue my acting career. But then I also love going to the sports bar every Sunday to talk and debate sports. That is sort of my thing. And who knew that First Take would come up with this competition where fans can submit videos giving their take on hot sports topics. And I end up winning the competition. I was the female winner of the competition. And that, obviously, I got to go on to First Take and debate Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. And what I've learned is my acting background is actually a huge advantage over a lot of people who are trying to get into sports media, because I have no problem being in front of the camera. I have no problem with performing. And I have some knowledge. I do have some skill sets there. Okay. What I've learned is that there are a lot of people who have the knowledge, who have the background, a lot of former players, a lot of analysts, journalists, but they don't have the electricity in front of the camera. And that's something that I have naturally. So what I focus on is just learning as much as I can, making sure my knowledge is up to par with my, you know, my contemporaries. And that's how it's been able to mesh together. My acting background actually is a huge help getting into sports media.
Gotcha. Nice.
So let me get this.
I got to know, I got a limited time before we go heavy in the thoughts. So I'm trying to, like, you know, dive
in. Get it on.
Yeah,
I asked all the personal questions.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, my question was going to be is, you know, seeing how you got into acting, is there any genre of acting, I should say, you preferred? Is like drama, horror? Like, what was your feel for that? Or you like any kind of role? Nothing specific?
I mean, I have a lot of fun with comedy, but I do feel that dramatic roles for me feed my soul.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Than comedic roles. So I definitely feel that I lean toward, when I'm, you know, just looking at auditions to submit myself to, I definitely lean toward more heavy, deep, dramatic material.
Understood. All right, see, that was my little question. Like I said, I got to get him in where I can fit in before y'all sports overload me over here.
Oh, before he bodies?
Yeah, basically.
Body you out the conversation.
It's going to be crickets over here. And you're like...
All right, so my thing is more about the experience, because you talked about experience, and you had two, I think, very monumental experiences. You talked about the video content that you produce on YouTube. Number one, I know we saw you on YouTube with going against Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman on ESPN First Take, and you also have the NBA, and we also have the NFL draft that you went down there for, and you covered all 3 days. So I guess if you could talk about those two experiences, and I guess what you got out of them, I think that'd be great for the listeners.
Definitely with my experience on First Take, that was both exciting and nerve-wracking, because, you know, it was my dream comes true with First Take being my favorite sports show ever, right, and getting on national television live. There's no rehearsals, there's no script, you know, I just have to know my stuff and be ready for whatever Stephen A. and Max came at me with.
Mm-hmm.
That experience was just groundbreaking, and then being able to sort of feed off of that and go into the NFL draft down in Philly and sort of use, again, my people skills, my performance skills, going down there, interviewing people, just random fans, you know, sort of getting their take on certain sports topics,
right,
and teams. It was really exciting, and it also was just a learning experience trying to figure out where I fit in the sports media world, because this isn't, as I said before, this is something that sort of found me, as opposed to me sort of, you know, trying to venture into sports media. It's something that a lot of people have told me that I was just a natural at, and that, you know, it's something I just fit into naturally. But in doing First Take and going to the NFL draft, and doing these videos and continuing to do my sports media podcast, The Stone Truth, I'm finding where I fit in the sports media world. It's not necessarily, probably wouldn't be a sideline reporter, but with my performance skills, it'll most likely be me analyzing, doing sports talk radio, commentating, hosting possibly, mm-hmm, and interviewing for sure.
No, that's tight. I think that's that's a good deal. That's a good deal.
Dennis, let me ask you a question.
So,
I got all these ties in my closet. Now that my schedule's changed a little bit, you know, I'm a little more freer with the attire. I don't know what to do with these ties. What you got in America? Where do you put your ties at?
Oh man, listen, I just found out about this dope site. It's called the Necktie Exchange, and you literally can sell, buy, or trade all those ties you got laying around in your closet, man.
So you telling me I can make money off of it?
You can make macho money, because you know, whenever you buy a tie, most of the time you can't give it back. So with this site, you really have the opportunity to make some money, and you can sell them for however much you want.
Man, I need that website right now.
Well, you definitely got to check it out. It's www.thenecktieexchange.com. And also, it's free to sign up.
So how would you say, you know, with your experience so far as a woman commentator, woman in media, how would you say the experience is so far with that role?
Well, I know there's been a lot of talk recently. I mean, you can turn on the news, you can go scroll through Twitter, and you can see, mm-hmm, that ESPN in particular has been in the news with,
right,
you know, some of the situations going on with sexual harassment and the gender roles and what's going on at that network. But for me, because I was the only girl, and I've always sort of been the only girl in a lot of situations, I'm sort of used to that dynamic of having to fit in and having to, I know I have to work a little extra harder to be heard, to have my voice validated. Even when I'm just getting into debates with guys at the sports bar, mm-hmm. I feel like I have to work a little extra harder to get their attention. Like, hey, I know what I'm talking about, guys. Here are the stats, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, then finally I sort of get validated and then I'm able to join the conversation. But it's not something that bothers me much because, like, as I said before, I'm sort of used to that dynamic of being the only girl and sort of having to find my way in a quote-unquote man's world. It's for me, it's just working really hard to know my information and being able to perform when I'm asked to. That's really all it's about.
Understood. Well, I guess, you know, seeing how we're talking about, do you feel you have somewhat of a competitive advantage over some of the men who may be in the industry, maybe because, just let's say, hey, well, it's assumed that they may know and they may not do as much research, or it's just kind of like common knowledge stuff. Whereas for you, maybe not playing the sports directly, you do your homework a little bit more. Do you think you have any type of competitive advantage?
I think I do, because as you mentioned before, I think a lot of men are taken for granted, right? Their knowledge or their basis of knowledge is taken for granted because they are men, and it's sort of, they're sort of thrown off when I can come into the room with the same amount of knowledge or even more. I think also being an African-American female coming into this business who's very opinionated, that's something that a lot of these sports networks are looking for. They're looking to diversify their talent pool and not just have some old white men constantly giving their opinion on sports. Like, we're seeing a lot more women coming out into the fold. We're seeing a lot more minorities come out into the fold. So I definitely feel like I have, I fit into a certain niche when it comes to being a woman and being African-American.
Awesome.
That sounds good. So what would you say, looking into the future, you know, the podcast is up and running. You know, where do you see yourself? What's the next step for Crystal Stone in this part of her career?
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, something comes up for me very soon when it comes to the sports talk radio realm. I did a couple of stints on ESPN Radio this past summer, so I'm hoping that another opportunity comes to fruition soon. But then also continuing on with the sports, with the Stone Truth podcast and with my YouTube videos, I'm hoping to get more exposure, to get more opportunities to get in front of the camera and in front of the mic on other networks as well. So looking forward, I hope to be on television or in front of the mic somewhere giving my opinion on sports on a regular basis.
Nice. And is there somebody that you personally have on your interview list? Like the next person to go after. I know you got Stephen A. Smith checked off the list. You got Max Kellerman checked off the list. Who's next? Yeah. Who's on your hit list?
Who you want to spar with?
So that's an interesting question, because I feel like I hit the Mount Rushmore when it comes to I'm going to sit down with Stephen A. Smith. I mean, come on. And I'm a Dallas fan.
And you got after him. I'm not going to lie. You gave him work. You were giving him work.
I feel like that's like the epitome of sports debate for me. But definitely being able to sit in the same room with the greats like Jemele Hill, being able to maybe co-host one day with Kerry Champion, just, you know, other big ballers in this industry, being able to sit side by side them. I would love to go at it with the guys on, I think it's Monday Night Football with Randy Moss and Charles Woodson. Or Sunday NFL countdown. Just being able to sit down with them and sort of, you know, go back and forth with them would be a lot of fun.
That's cool. I like the sound of that. Well, we look forward to you taking out all of the big dogs. You know, I think you should put Shannon Sharp on there as well. Go cross over. Go to both networks and just get after everybody. You know,
that's true. I would love to sit down with Skip Bayless and just have a Cowboys powwow for 2 hours. That'd be awesome.
Nice.
Hey, everyone. This is Nick Totora from the Westmark Group. When I'm not servicing our clients with their digital marketing and website development needs, I'm hanging out with the One Recourse Business Podcast, your number one source for business entertainment.
Okay.
So since we're on it, I was going to wait for it. But since we're here, let's talk about what you're most passionate about. We're here on the One Recourse Radio Podcast, where we're about to get the stone truth. So what's going on with your Cowboys?
Well, you know, the Cowboys just came off, even though it was an ugly win, it was a win against the Oakland Raiders last night. It was a must-win game for the Cowboys to keep their playoff hopes alive. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys are able to survive Zeke Elliott's six-game suspension, going 3-3 and staying alive until he returns to the team. He actually returned to Dallas to the facility this afternoon. I'm here in Dallas. I think that's why he decided to come back today. I was here. I'm here for the holidays. And Zeke said, you know what? This would be a great day to come back. So I think we're talking about a different team, obviously, with Ezekiel Elliott being back. We know how successful this team was with last year with Dak Prescott and with Ezekiel Elliott leading this offense. And unfortunately, Dak just sort of lost his way. At the quarterback position, lost his ability to complete passes effectively, made some errant throws, his interception rate rose this year. But I also think a lot of that has to do with the coaching staff and how Scott Linehan being the offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett the head coach, how they, I think, did not do well with adjusting without Ezekiel Elliott and helping Dak adjust without having Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield and sort of having a different game plan going forward for the next six games, for those next six games that Ezekiel Elliott was out.
Okay.
So the state of the Dallas Cowboys now, I think, is a lot better that we have Ezekiel Elliott in. They're going to face the Seattle Seahawks next Sunday, a Seattle Seahawks team that just got blown out against the Los Angeles Rams.
Body.
47. A Seattle Seahawks team that seems to be in shambles. It was just reported today or late last night that Earl Thomas on their defense. Earl Thomas is a Texas Longhorn, by the way. Shout out to him. But Earl Thomas made a comment to the media that his teammate Bobby Wagner probably shouldn't have played because he was injured, and that probably hurt, you know, things on the defense. And Bobby Wagner tweeted out, keep my name out your mouth. You know, da da da. You know, don't try to hold down my success. So obviously, they have some tension within their locker room, and I think that's going to speak volumes. I mean, whenever there's something going on in the locker room, it affects the play on the field. So I think that definitely helps the Dallas Cowboys going into Sunday, especially with the game being at home and with Zeke coming back. So I think things are looking up. I understand the way you led into the question, like, what's going on with your Cowboys? Actually, the Dallas Cowboys were able to survive and win three games straight, thankfully, even after having three dismal losses in November.
So ultimately, you're not concerned. Are you concerned about the future? Are you positive? Is it a positive future for the Cowboys?
It's going to be a positive future as far as next year is concerned. This year...
We're already in next year.
Yeah, I am already in next year. Listen, after the Cowboys lost to the Chargers on Thanksgiving, I said, hey, NFL draft was good. Because... what's going on? Obviously, it's time to start looking towards next year. And I think it's... What I'm most concerned about, to answer your question, is the coaching. Is the coaching. Because...
Yes, let's talk about that.
You know, the defense, the Dallas Cowboys came in with a weak secondary. It was weak last year. It's weak again this year. Although the rookies that have now come in Chidobe Awuzie, Jordan Lewis, Xavier Woods, they are playing a lot better even than the veterans that we had in Orlando Scandrick. But I think the coaching has let down the Dallas Cowboys, especially in these six games without Ezekiel Elliott. Look at just what happened last night against the Raiders. Chris Jones, the punter, he faked a punt on fourth down and ran for 24 yards. And from my understanding, that wasn't a Jason Garrett call. He did that on his own.
Really?
Do you understand? Like, yeah, he did that on his own. So
he was boogieing, though. He was boogieing.
And he got more than the 24 yards. I mean, he got more than the yards that was needed for the first down. He went well down midfield.
Right.
And then also, if you look at the first game without Ezekiel Elliott against the Atlanta Falcons, this is where you really saw where the coaching staff is sort of didn't have a handle on this team, was when obviously it's the first game without Ezekiel Elliott, so that's a loss to the team. But what was more detrimental was left tackle Tyron Smith being out. Tyron Smith being out, they put in Chaz Green. Chaz Green left through five sacks on his own, all by himself. And it wasn't until the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, that Jason Garrett put in Byron Bell and take out Chaz Green. So why take so long? And Dak Prescott ended up being sacked 8 times that game. And I think that because of that, it sort of shattered his confidence.
Right.
And led to the further 2 losses against the Eagles and to the Chargers. And I don't think he's sort of gained that confidence back yet. I think he'll get it now that Ezekiel Elliott is back, because he can depend much more on the play action pass.
Right.
But you know, you get sacked 8 times in 1 game. I mean,
that hurts my feelings. I don't even play football.
How confident are you going to be throwing the ball going forward? So
I think he's nervous. He's nervous back there. He's nervous.
Yeah, I think the coaching staff let him down. So that is definitely a concern. And I think most importantly, the NFC is so strong this year with the Saints, the Rams, now we have the Eagles still doing well, even with Carson Wentz out, with Nick Foles as the backup.
I didn't see that game. Nick Foles did good?
He did well. He actually kept up with the same numbers as Carson Wentz that he's had all season long, as far as completion percentage, yards thrown, touchdown passes thrown. In this one game, it actually matched what Carson Wentz has been doing on average this season. So there's, you know, nothing's really changed there for the Eagles, and that's unfortunate for the Dallas Cowboys. So I think the Dallas Cowboys will get into the playoffs, given that Atlanta Falcons lose 2 of their next 3 games. But once they get there, I mean, there's some heavyweights in the NFC to get past.
Yeah.
That's going to be concerning.
So here's my question, right? Because you hit on coaching. And I heard your perspective. Why do you have so much belief in Tyron Smith? So tell me about the coaching, because at the end of the day, I was having this conversation with somebody else, and I've always felt like Jason Garrett is just like a kind of a puppet, so to speak. Do you feel the same way? And tell me about that, and then talk to me about your man, Tyron Smith.
Listen, I admitted to Jason Garrett being a puppet when I was on First Take with Stephen A. and Max. I admitted to that fact. I mean, anyone with the eyes and ears can see the dynamic that Jerry Jones has with his team versus other owners with their teams when it comes to their exposure to the media. Right. How many owners speak to the media as much as Jerry Jones versus other teams' head coaches speaking to the media? We hear from Bill Belichick on a regular basis. We hear from Pete Carroll on a regular basis. We hear from Doug Peterson. We hear from Ben McAdoo, even though he doesn't have much to say. we still
almost
hear
also
from
heard.
Him.
We heard.
My bad. You're right. Past tense. We heard from Ben McAdoo. Maybe we didn't hear enough. That's probably why he got fired. But Jason Garrett is not that figure that is out in front as the leader of the Dallas Cowboys. When you think of the Dallas Cowboys, you think Jerry Jones as the leader. And in their decision-making, even when it came to the NFL protest situation, that was a chance for Jason Garrett to step up and sort of be the leader and say, this is how we are going to handle this. But Jerry Jones ended up taking control of it. So In that regard, I do feel like Jason Garrett is a puppet, and I think that's how Jerry Jones wants it. Jerry Jones wants a yes in that head coach position. But if you think about the last time the Dallas Cowboys were extremely successful, it was Jimmy Johnson in the early to mid-90s, winning for a Super Bowl team. He ran that squad. Right. And those two egos sort of clashed, and Jerry Jones wanted to be the one who got all the shine. And now he has it the way he wants it. He gets all the shine, but then unfortunately, you know,
team is trash.
Jason Garrett doesn't get. He gets the. the team is not trash.
She's like, don't talk about my team like that.
Let's keep it respectful. Let's keep it respectful. My point is that Jason Garrett he got the credit last year, right? Because he won Coach of the Year.
Right.
With the team going 13-3. But he doesn't get the criticism when it's deserved. And this year, it's deserved. But you hear Jerry Jones saying he's not going to make any changes to the coaching staff anytime soon. So his job is safe as long as Jerry Jones is there. And in regards to Tyron Smith, I'll just give you one stat. Tyron Smith, when he's on the field, the Cowboys average 7.31 yards per play. When he's not on the field, they only average 4.5. That's all you need to know.
That's what we needed right there. That's what we needed to know. Thank you.
Facts.
A stone fact, right? That's a stone fact. So, all right. So, Jerry Jones. So clearly, he has a control problem.
Jerry.
Clearly has a control problem. But he's a great businessman. But overall, he's done very well in keeping the Cowboys in the media. Or keeping them at the forefront when they've only won, two playoff games in a decade? What do we accredit this to?
Thanks for dropping that. Thanks for dropping that bit of information.
I just had to give you I had to give you a Backus fact. You know what I mean? I had to even it up.
Are you considering buying or selling a home in the Nassau or Suffolk County market? Do you feel a home is your safe haven and your castle? If so, then you deserve top-notch service. It's time to work with someone familiar with the Long Island market. Please consider me as your qualified and experienced professional to guide you through. Please contact me today, and I will be your high-end luxury real estate broker in Nassau and Suffolk County. Sharon Dinkins, licensed associate broker. To learn more about my luxury listings, call 631-941-4111, extension 381 for the office.
So why is your Cowboys so revered and always in the spotlight when, it hasn't been a while since they've gotten some notable record winning performances?
Well, you have to take it all the way back to the inception of the Dallas Cowboys in the 60s and the 70s. The Dallas Cowboys marketing was sort of groundbreaking. They are one of the only teams in the league that really focused on fan engagement, writing letters back to fans, engaging with their fans. They were always on TV, as we know, more so than the majority of teams in the league. They were always on the television. They were always in the forefront. And that's where you have to credit Jerry Jones. And he's a marketing genius. I mean, we have to give it to him. He sued the NFL, I think, back in the late 90s, I'm not sure what year, because he wanted to be able to have his own sponsorship deals. And I think the sponsorship deal that he wanted to have was with Pepsi. What you have to give Jerry Jones credit for is that he does everything in the best interest for the Dallas Cowboys, to keep the Dallas Cowboys in the forefront. He took the Dallas Cowboys from being valued at $189 million to over $4 billion.
Wow.
Which is the most profitable, the most highly valued sports franchise in the world across any sport. So, and to keep it even more relevant to just right now, the ratings just came out for this past weekend, and the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the New England Patriots game was the most watched game this season.
Ratings-wise, by the way.
However, of the top five games watched, most watched games, the Dallas Cowboys have the top three, or three of the top five.
Wow.
So, and two of those games were losses.
Wow.
And I think what is important to note is that the Dallas Cowboys are both the most loved team, we have the most fans, and we're also the most hated team.
Right.
And that's what's always going to keep you in the forefront. I think that's something that Jerry Jones recognizes, is that people are going to tune in every Sunday to either root for the Cowboys or root against the Cowboys. They're a polarizing team, and that's what's kept them in the forefront all these years, even with the lack of postseason success.
Smart. Wow. I mean, he's a talented man, just the way you described his marketing play to keep them in. So with that being said, we've talked about a lot of the Cowboys, the coaches, the players, Who would you say is your all-time favorite Dallas Cowboy player?
Okay.
Past or current?
To be fair, I have to be fair here. I don't have a favorite player, one player. I have a favorite era, and it was the triplets. It was Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin. The three of those guys were my idols growing up. They won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. I was in my early to mid-teens. It was a great time to be growing up in Dallas, Texas, with
here's the question,
those
though.
3 guys leading the team.
Did you have the starter jacket?
I did. I sure did. I sure did.
Yeah, man, that's old school. Starter jacket.
We got to clarify. I almost would have took your fandom card if you lived in Dallas and you didn't have the star. All right, just want to make sure.
I did have one, but I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know where it is now. I probably got thrown away at some point. But, I definitely had one of those.
I'm bringing it back, man.
That's good. So it's official. Crystal Stone can't keep her fan card. We just want to let you all know. So if you see her in the street, she's good money. She's good money, and we know that the triplets, as it should be, because that was it. I mean, that was it. Like, that was the moment right there. You know what I mean? Like,
that's when a lot of people became if you
Cowboy
go
fans.
The country, you know, people who are not from the Dallas, Texas area. That's when a lot of people became Cowboys fans.
Right,
I'm one of them. Yeah, I knew that squad, that era. Number 8, right, was Troy Aikman. Number 22 was Emmitt Smith. And Irvin, was he 81 or 88?
88.
Yeah, so look at that, see? And wait, I don't know sports.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
Man, I'm a horrible sports fan at all. I can't name nobody. But I know those 3 guys you just mentioned and their numbers. So I'm just, commending you on, I know that era.
Okay. You're an honorary fan. I'll take it.
There you go.
There we go. All right, good deal. So, I think we got some good ground. I think you did an amazing job of really allowing us to understand what's going on. You know, because a lot of times we get the surface of why Dallas Cowboys are what they are. But we know that Tyron Smith, you gave us statistical information. More than seven yards a carry when he's involved. We know we talked about we went back to the 70s as far as media is concerned. And I think that can attribute to why the Cowboys are in the media. You know, they have good marketing strategies and business operations. And then we know that Jason Garrett's a puppet. So I think that's good ground there. I think that's good ground.
That pretty much sums it up.
I think it sums it up. So I think we got great ground there. So what we're going to do after we come back from commercial break, I think we're going to transition because we know that you're very well versed in all sports. So we're going to transition over to the NBA and we're going to talk more talk in sports and get the Stone Truth with Crystal Stone. So when we come back from break, we'll be right back.
This is Crystal Stone of the Stone Truth Podcast. When I'm not talking Dallas Cowboys football, I'm tuned in to the One Recourse Podcast, your number one source for business entertainment.
All right, so we're back from break. Welcome everybody back to the One Recourse Radio Podcast. And you're here getting the Stone Truth. We're here with Crystal Stone of the Stone Truth Podcast. And she just blessed us with a lot of great Dallas Cowboy information. So, Ms. Stone, we know that you got more to your game. We know you just not all about Dallas. We know you all about the sports life. So let's talk about NBA. This is an exciting season in the NBA. And there's been a lot of movement, you know, a lot of free agent frenzy, if you will. So we want to get your perspective. We want to get your perspective on some of the different moves that have been made and if they were good moves, if they paid off, or if they haven't. So first, let's talk about the Houston Rockets because, you know, you live in Texas, or you're from Texas, rather. So let's go right into your home state. You know, your state has just received a quality player, a future Hall of Famer, a State Farm celebrity, but he's now a Houston Rocket, formerly as an L.A. Clipper. How do you feel that acquisition has panned out now for the Houston Rockets?
So let's clarify a couple of things.
Okay.
First of all, I'm born and raised in Dallas, Texas. Uh-huh. I am a Dallas Mavericks fan. We don't have to talk about the Dallas Mavericks because there's not much to talk about as far as Dallas Mavericks are concerned. I am not a Houston Rockets fan. I do not want to see them prevail. But
dagger.
Just speaking facts. The Stone Truth.
Yeah, there you go.
But I do have to admit that out of all of the, as you said, the big moves that have been made in free agency this offseason,
right,
the Houston Rockets probably scored, I should say it's probably worked out the best for the Houston Rockets with Chris Paul going over to Houston. If you think about last year, the Houston Rockets were right there in the fray. James Harden was an MVP candidate. They get to the playoffs, and it seemed like James Harden was abducted by aliens, and his body was there, but it wasn't really him, and he completely crumbled, right?
Right. He gassed out.
Right. But you look at Chris Paul. Chris Paul is, he's right now, he has the best three-point shooting percentage of his career, 42.9.
Okay.
He's shooting the best he's shot since the 2009-2010 season. And the Houston Rockets have the top offense in the league. I mean, they're 14-0 right now with games that Chris Paul has played in.
Mm.
Chris Paul's walking around with the best offensive rating in NBA history.
Mm.
And James Harden is just playing even better. He's having a career season with 39 points average, 9 assists, shooting for 45%. I mean, he's having a career season. So everything is looking up and up for the Houston Rockets. And not to mention, they are a deep, talented squad.
That's funny you said that. Deep. Yes. It's a weird. It's almost a non-conventional deep, if you will, right? Because
mm-hmm.
You only got one good big man, one solid, dependable big man, and what's his name? Capella. Am I saying it correct? Other than that, it's all about guards and small forwards with them.
But the NBA, if you think about it, the game is moving to more small ball.
Right.
So they may be structured properly, especially going against a team like the Warriors.
Right. So do you think they could pull it out is the question.
No, I did not say that. Okay.
You don't want them to pull it out. You don't want them to pull it out, but do you think they can?
You're saying if they get to the Western Conference Finals against Golden State, we're talking about a Golden State team that is still winning even with Steph Curry being hurt. The Golden State team that still has basically their this past year's championship squad still intact.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, they were able to re-sign everyone like Iguodala, Sean Livingston, David West. They were able to keep a lot of their role players.
Right.
And they have Kevin freaking Durant.
Mm.
So yeah. I don't see anyone in the West overtaking the Warriors anytime soon. Although the Rockets will definitely give them a run for their money, I think.
So it's good. It's a good storyline, but it ain't cutting it.
But you know what? I think it's because we have to go back on James Harden's playoff performance. As great as his Rocket team is, when they get to the playoffs, what James Harden are we going to see? Are we going to see this James Harden that's shooting 31 points on average per game, or are we going to see the James Harden from last year that completely disappeared?
Right, but you know, typically he balls out. I mean, he's had about three prolific years, but he's also had, when he gets to them playoffs.
Exactly.
He just runs out of energy. You know,
unfortunately, there are a lot of players that have great regular seasons. Tony Romo, for example, in football.
Mm.
But when they get to the playoffs, things don't always come to fruition for them.
That's your man right there, too. That's your man.
Crack under pressure.
Yeah. I had to drop his name at least once in the podcast.
Yeah, too. Shout out to Tony Romo. Solid young man, good golf player. He has a great analyst career.
You said good golf player?
Oh, his golf game is nasty.
Oh, word? Okay.
He's nasty at golf.
There's talks of him possibly coming on to coach the Dallas Cowboys. Who knows?
Y'all could use that. I mean, y'all could use a lot of things. But anywho, that's not for me to discuss. So we got Chris Paul. Let's talk about the new big three. Let's talk about Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and Russell Westbrook, and everything that's happened in Oklahoma City. What's going on? What's your perspective on that? What's the stone truth on that?
Russell Westbrook is one of my favorite players of all time. I love Russell Westbrook, and I felt so bad for him last year because, you know, he had a career season, averaging triple doubles, winning MVP, but he didn't have the pieces around him to be a successful team. And when Paul George went over, I felt like that's great, but they need one more piece to be competitive, really, in the West. When Carmelo Anthony went over to the Thunder, I thought, all right, that's a new big three, as you mentioned. We got a new big three in the West, someone that can give the Golden State Warriors some trouble in the playoffs. But I feel like they started out well, but something's just not clicking with the three of them. They're sitting just below 500. All three of them, Westbrook, Paul George, and Melo, in that particular order, have the worst field goal shooting percentages in the NBA for players who shoot more than 15 times per game. They're having the worst seasons of their careers. Russell Westbrook went from league MVP to having, I think he's shooting 38% from the field. I mean, he's having one of the worst seasons. They just lost to the Knicks, a Knicks team without their unicorn in Kristaps Porzingis. So I think with the Thunder, it comes down to coaching. Because each of these teams that we're going to talk about, we just talked about the Rockets, Mike D'Antoni is finding a way to get Chris Paul into that system and make it work. And obviously, look, they're going 14-0 with games that he's been in. And some of these other teams, the coaching staff has to find ways to make the new pieces work. And I think Billy Donovan has to do a better job at coming up with a game plan to make this threesome work. It should work. I mean, on paper, you look at these three players, you can probably say they're the top 25 players in the league at least.
Absolutely.
This should work. And it's unfortunate that right now it's not.
Why do you feel it's not working, though? Because we know that the stats show that they're struggling all across the board. What do you personally feel like this thing is saying, like, it's just not working?
Well, you're taking three players who were the go-to guy, the number one guy on their team, right? Paul George coming from the Pacers, he was the number one guy on that team. Carmelo Anthony, even though it wasn't working out in New York, he was the number one guy on that team. So you're taking three number one guys and asking them to find their role in the scheme, and it hasn't been working. How do they all three have the worst shooting percentages of their careers, right? So something, and like I mentioned, it's because of the coaching. I think Billy Donovan has to do a better job at figuring out how to use these three on paper really good players to sort of mesh with each other and get some offense and defense on both sides of the ball.
Okay.
Websites. Everybody's always talking about a website. Small business owners, freelancers, you name it, everybody's talking about a website. For some reason, it's needed. The truth is, people check out your website before they even decide to give you a call. How's your website? Does it get the traffic you need? Do you even have a website? Are you missing out on customers? Are you missing out on sales? Well, with One Recourse website design, not only do we allow you to create amazing websites yourself with our do-it-yourself platform, you also can hire us to create customly made websites for you. That's not the best part. The best part about all of this and our services is that all websites are $1,000 or less. Now, if you see yourself needing a website now or in the future, make sure you check out www.onerecoursedesign.com and we will gladly help you get your website together.
I see.
What do you have to say about that, Dennis? listen.
How about this? Y'all don't even want to get me started. Man. I'm going to have a whole... I'll be going on for hours about that. So, since I don't want to do this to our listeners, I will ask a question. If you could put together your dream team, because, I mean, I know we mentioned all those players, and for whatever reason, it's not really meshing. Who would you have on your dream team and why?
My starting five?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Some of this is going to be because of my heart, and some of this is going to be because of my head. My heart wants the veteran in Dirk Nowitzki. I want the superstars in Kevin Durant. I hate LeBron James, but I'm not stupid. He's the best player in the world. So I'll have LeBron James. I'll have Steph Curry. And close between Chris Paul and Kyrie in the finals. He's proven in the finals, you know, his performance that much in the playoffs. So that will be my starting five.
Okay. Mitch, what do you think about that dream team of hers?
I think it's contemporary. I think it's contemporarily solid.
Oh, thank you.
I think it embodies what 2000. I'm gonna say. Well, you said you put Dirk in there, so I'm gonna say as far as 2005 to today's current day of what would be a solid team. So I'm not mad. That was a good one.
I would stick with veterans right now because we have Giannis, who's great. We have Carl Anthony Towns. Obviously, Joel Embiid. We have those superstars, but none of them are proven in the playoffs. So, let's go on with some veteran leadership.
Nah, I dig it. That's clean right there. Okay, so I think that's solid. Let's talk about your man LeBron. So you're not a fan of LeBron.
I'm not at all.
Okay. Yeah. Now, some people like him. Some people don't like him. Why aren't you a fan? Is it about it's not about his play, obviously. It's about the antics, is it?
it's very simple. It goes back to the NBA Finals 2011, if I'm not mistaken, against Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going.
Dallas Mavericks. You know what I'll never forget, Mitch? I'll never forget. I believe it was game 5.
Okay.
And Dirk Nowitzki was playing with the flu. Dirk Nowitzki was sick. And the game was over. I want to say that the Miami Heat won. This is LeBron James with the Miami Heat and Dwayne Wade. And on camera, walking back to the locker room, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James were caught on camera coughing. Yeah, yeah. Making fun of Dirk. Like, to this day, I hate him. To this day, I'll forever hate him.
Hurt your feelings that work with that?
Yeah. And for us, the Dallas Mavericks to be one of the teams to hand him a loss in the finals. One of the losses that will keep him from reaching the heights of Michael Jordan.
Ooh, okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I guess got to sting him a little bit more than I think. That cough, but I get it.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty disgustedly sad when that happened because I'm a Dwayne Wade fan. So when I saw that Dallas pulled it off, I wanted to kind of throw up. But
okay.
No disrespect. I like Dirk, but if you got to tell me that one got to stay, one got to go. You know, got to go. No disrespect. Dirk got to go, but. I did feel a way when they did that. I feel like those antics were unnecessary. But let's talk about the antics. Do you feel like his antics and everything he does, he's very vocal on social media. He does weird stuff to get this, I don't call it approval, but to keep you in front of the eyes of the people to get that kind of recognition. He's like attention seeking almost. He's the greatest player who seeks attention. Do you feel like that tarnishes his legacy?
I don't think it tarnishes his legacy in this era. Had this been maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe. But we're in an era where, after the game, Joel Embiid goes on Twitter to troll the team or troll a player, right?
I saw that.
That's just sort of how it is. Wasn't it Russell Westbrook who tweeted out a cupcake when Kevin Durant left to go to Golden State? This is like the era that we're in. So he's sort of within his contemporaries. This is what they do. This is what they do. What I don't like is, this is what they do. Don't try to act like you're above everything, like you're above the fray. I don't do it. I'm above all this. When you down and dirty. Did he do the Arthur fist when he was mad about the Celtics winning another game? Just come on. And when Kyrie Irving left, obviously, to go to Boston, and he LeBron James had his press conference after he left, and he was like, oh, the kid this, I try to help the kid that, and the kid this. He's just like, come on, LeBron. Like, this is so unnecessary.
He was trying to sun him, right? It was a lot of sunning going on.
Yeah, so I don't have that much issue with his particular. It's annoying, but again, we're sort of in that era, which is, this is what they do. They do it all on social media. Kevin Durant with his dummy account on Twitter, like, and on Instagram. Like, this is just what they do. This is what the younger folks do. But the only problem
those
is that
millennials.
LeBron James is like 33, so I'm gonna need him to, like, if Joel Embiid does it, okay, you know, he's in his early 20s, but LeBron James is a little too old for the antics.
Yeah,
right. That's funny. Yeah, one thing I will say though, one thing, and Dennis, I know you got some commentary on this as well. One thing I will say is that you gotta give credit. I think LeBron is necessary for this generation because he's one of the best teammates I've ever seen anybody play with. He makes everybody better around him. And in addition to that, you know, he's really taking, like, I guess the league or those affiliated with the league, and he's put the responsibility to advance the culture and how it's portrayed, and how business is done around the league on his back. And that's one thing you gotta appreciate. But the other antics, like, you know, when he's doing the workout, he's taping himself,
yeah,
working out and all that. That's a little too extra, like. But
he's keeping up with the kids. He's keeping up with the kids.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like he's trying to keep. It's like you're like 40 years old, still in the club with the 20-year-olds type of thing.
But to sort of, I got to throw a little dagger at what you said as far as him being a great teammate. I mean, ask Kyrie Irving about that. I don't know if everyone thinks he's a great teammate.
All right, so let's talk about that, though. Kyrie Irving, right? He's an assassin. An assassin can't play backseat. He got to be in the front. And as you see, he's assassinating in Boston, right?
Right.
So, if it was anybody else, I'd be like, okay. But Kyrie, you know, he's a different kind of breed. I think, like, when you look at Russell Westbrook and Kyrie, this is two different kind of, this is special cloth talk right here we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. If you watch Russell Westbrook, and, you know, I know, I make Dennis watch Russell Westbrook from time to time. he's just not, it's not right what he's doing to people out there. I've never seen so many people get dunked on so ferociously in one season by one person, and he's killing cats out here. But Kyrie is just like, it's just foul what he be doing to cats. No disrespect, your man Dennis Smith Jr. He gave him work.
That was pretty bad, and I was actually not happy when Dennis Smith, like, got in his face and, you know,
to fight him.
I was like, no, youngin, no. You just got into the league. You're not there yet. Slow down, little grasshopper.
Right. He bodied him.
I think he's definitely going to come into his own, Dennis Smith Jr.
Oh, but definitely.
What I think is fascinating, the Kyrie Irving asking for a trade, that sort of just was a dynamic, you know, bombshell across the NBA.
Changed the whole league.
That changed everything, right?
Everything.
That changed the state of the Eastern Conference. That changed the balance of power to some extent.
Right.
And you see how they started out. They started out so well. They've lost three of the last six, unfortunately. But they still have the top defense rating in the NBA. They just need to have to find consistency on the defensive side of the ball. And they're doing all of this without Gordon Hayward. Imagine what this squad would be like with Gordon Hayward. Can you imagine? So for them to be able to do what they're doing, sitting at, I think they're 25-7,
right,
without Gordon Hayward, who was going to be a pivotal piece on the starting five, mm-hmm, I think is remarkable. And I think it speaks to a lot of what Kyrie's point was, you know, leaving the Cavaliers, coming over to Boston and being successful as he is now.
Right. I mean, but that's what he wanted. Right. He knew what he wanted, and that's what it was, you know. So obviously you could say that the Kyrie Irving move was one that worked.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, I think what we, the Cavaliers, let's just talk about going to the future. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
The Cavaliers, with Isaiah Thomas possibly coming back, there's whispers that he's coming back in April sometime. They're just going to get better, right? There's whispers. I mean, Isaiah Thomas actually refuted that in a tweet today. But there's whispers that he's coming back, you know, in a few months. That team is just going to get better. I mean, the team started out really ugly this season. And then the question was, oh, you know, are they going to be dethroned by the Boston Celtics? But then, you know, there's LeBron James. There's LeBron James, and the team actually got better with Derrick Rose not being on the squad, surprisingly. So with their role players doing exactly what they're supposed to do, playing their role, J.R. Smith, Dwayne Wade, Kyle Korver, Kevin Love, with them stepping up, and they're doing this without Tristan Thompson too. So with them stepping up, playing their roles, they're just going to be a better squad down the stretch if Isaiah Thomas joins in. Versus the Celtics, what you see is what you get. Right? There's no one sitting on the, Gordon Hayward's not coming back this season. Unless they make some sort of move during the trade deadline in February, this squad is basically what it is. And the question is, are they going to be strong enough to take over LeBron James and the Cavs?
I don't know, man. That Tatum kid is balling.
He's balling. He's balling. But like I said, the Cavs will just get better.
You're right.
And the Cavs have what the Cavs have what no other team in the NBA has. The best player in the world.
And I got to say this, because I said this, I was having a conversation. I said this, he's finally playing like what he's supposed to be playing like.
Right. He's 33 and he's having like a career year. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing at his age.
He's looking like Jordan, like what Jordan, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just giving you what you were supposed to get. Right, exactly. Talk about those stats. I know he's about to go into that.
No, I wasn't going to go into stats. I think LeBron James is just, it's just being at 33, what he's doing on the court. I mean, just every night going out there and just being better than his last performance day in and day out. What I think is scary is seeing this team with Isaiah Thomas on it. I think that's to watch out Golden State Warriors, you know? I think this is going to be an interesting playoffs this year.
I would agree. I was going to say, I would agree, because that's usually the only time I kind of watch any type of sports is during the important stuff like the playoffs. So, I just wanted to throw my two cents in there just a little bit.
Are you a spring breaker? Spring Break Central is here. Get ready for the greatest party in all of Florida. Lanikai Island Resort is the top location for anyone looking to have the best spring break of their life. We have 7 bars, 4 restaurants, including Starbucks, the only one in Fort Myers Beach, Club Ohana Nightclub with live bands all night to 2 a.m., and state-of-the-art rooms that comfortably fit 6 people and have a private balcony overlooking the Gulf. Visit our website at LonnieKaiIslandResort.com.
All right, so I think we got one last final point in our basketball talk.
All right.
And that's your man, Kevin Durant. So,
some
would say he made a very sucker move in going to Golden State. Got a chip, but some would say a great business move, but still a sucker move. How do you feel that this story's panning out?
I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Kevin Durant.
Because he was a Longhorn.
He is a former Texas Longhorn, yes. And I am a Texas Longhorn. And he gave us a great year. I believe he led the Texas Longhorns to the Elite Eight that season, the one season he was with us. So I always will have a soft spot in my heart. But, you know, I'm also very critical of Kevin Durant. When he left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State, I didn't think that much of it because LeBron James sort of laid out the blueprint for how players are doing that nowadays. Like, they're taking their careers in their own hands and, you know, choosing which teams they want to play with. They want to play with their friends. They can do that, you know. It definitely looked sort of pretty bad that he went to a team that the Oklahoma City Thunder had just lost to and dropped a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals the year before. But I can't, like, I'm over it. I mean, I know, like you just said, it's a sucker move. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm over it. He won the championship. It would have been worse, Mitch, if he left to go to Golden State and they didn't win the championship. That would have been, like, the worst thing that's probably happened in NBA history. But the fact that they won the chip and they're still sitting at number one in the league, best record in the league right now, looking like they're basically going to go right back to the finals again this year. And guess what? They're playing well with Steph Curry sitting on the bench. So I think this year, more so than last year, Kevin Durant is proving his worth to this team, because a lot of people said that, you know, you're just adding or you just bring a sand to the beach, right? This is already a great squad. You're just adding another guy who's even greater, right? But then look at this season. Look at this season. Steph Curry is hurt, and they're still winning because Kevin Durant still has to step up and lead this team. So I think he's proving his worth more this season. We're seeing how valuable he is to this team this season. So I can't be mad at Kevin Durant. What I am mad about is the nonsense off the court, you know, with the dummy accounts. Like every time I want to root for this dude, like he's doing something stupid. Like the dummy accounts, the weird Twitter remarks, like just play basketball, Kevin. Just play basketball. Stay off social media. And turn off your notifications.
And go make some beats.
Right. Go make some beats.
crazy.
But you can't, I mean, you can't be mad at 26 points per game, a field goal percentage of 52. You know, you can't be mad at that. He's a great player. A lot of people argue that he is possibly dethrone LeBron James to be the best player in the league. I'm over him moving from Oklahoma to Golden State. I wish him well. He's a Texas Longhorn, so I can't be mad at him forever.
Nah, true that. So, you know, seeing how I get to dive in again, so I'm going to take full advantage of this. Outside of sports and, you know, acting, what are some other things you're interested in?
So I'm a big fitness and health nut.
Okay.
I love to work out. I love being in the gym. I do a lot of CrossFit, kickboxing, weightlifting, powerlifting.
Nice.
And obviously, you know, I do whatever I can as far as acting on the side. I would say those are pretty much my hobbies outside of talking about sports and acting. It's definitely fitness and health. I'm vegan. I follow a vegan diet, so I'm really into, you know, vegan food.
Okay.
Y'all want to take me to a vegan restaurant one day?
What's your favorite vegan meal? What's your favorite vegan meal, huh?
I'll tell you what I just discovered recently, which is blowing my mind. I need to go get some right now because I'm at home with my mom in Dallas, and she lives right up the street from a Whole Foods. So I need to go up there real quick. They have this burger called Beyond Burger, and it's vegan. It's totally plant-based, but it looks and behaves like real meat. So it looks red. You know how ground beef looks? It's red, and it bleeds like a real burger when you're cooking it. But it's all plant-based. And
really?
I love it. I love them. They're, like, so awesome. It's Beyond Burger. You get them at Whole Foods. That's, like, my favorite thing to eat right now. My favorite vegan dish is vegan mac and cheese. I make that every year for Christmas for my family. They love it.
Was that? Oh, wow. Okay. I think that's cool. I like that. You got me hungry. I like the sound of that. That's cool. So I'm glad that, you know, we get a little idea of what it seems like outside of the sports talk, or what you dive into. So I think we might have to bring you back for some vegan tips.
Yes, just take me to the gym, make sure I work out, and give me some vegan food, and we're straight.
And everything's groovy. All right, I like the sound of that. Okay, that sounds good. Well, as we're coming down to the close, because I know your time is precious, and we just thank you for coming on and sharing this info. Last thing we just want to talk about, you're a Texas native. And we know when we think about all of the teams you like, they're in Texas, right? Mm-hmm. You're a Mavericks fan. Mm-hmm. You're a Cowboys fan. And we know that when it comes to sports, the state of Texas is very huge when it comes to just sports as a whole. You know, when you think about programs from top to bottom, professional all the way down to amateur, it's a big deal. So when you think about some of the schools, you got the University of Texas, you got Texas Christian, you have Baylor, you have, tell me if I'm missing any other, you have Texas Tech, you have, what's another, give me, am I missing any of the big?
Texas A&M.
So when you think about it, collegiate wise, which is the first step before you get to the professionals, you have larger institutions, which kind of at this point, because most of them are in the Big 12, they're kind of in the middle or not really too relevant as much as they were back in the 80s and the 90s. So what would you say that the state of Texas has to do to get to a point of, I guess, that point of relevancy or to where they were at one point in time? What has to happen to bring Texas back on the map to be a state that's well recognized as much as the talent that it produces?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, it comes down to recruiting. When you have Alabama winning as many championships or going to the playoffs as much as they have in the last few years, you now have Clemson up there in the fold.
Right.
The SEC, the ACC are definitely taking over as far as the Power Five is concerned. You're losing recruiting. I mean, you're losing your foothold in recruiting. And the hope is with Texas bringing on their new coach and Tom Herman coming over from the University of Houston, the hope is coaches like him, whoever the Texas A&M is going to bring on. I don't know if they actually brought in a new coach, but they let go of their coach recently. It's going to be a question of competing with these other big schools when it comes to recruiting. I mean, that's the key for any success in any college program is getting the top recruits in the nation. Yeah, so it's going to come down to recruiting for the state of Texas. The state of Texas has been losing the recruiting battle, like I said, to states like Florida, to states like Alabama, to Georgia. So they have to get better at getting those top recruits to the schools like Texas, Texas A&M, TCU, Baylor. Until they start doing that, I mean, they're losing to the state of Oklahoma, too, even though Oklahoma's in the Big 12. It's Oklahoma, you know. Right. And for a while, Texas has been, the University of Texas, for example, has been losing the recruiting battle to Oklahoma over the last several years. So, but that, you know, it's sort of, the question is it the chicken or the egg that comes first? Because right. If you're a high school recruit, you want to go to a team that's winning, right?
100%.
Right. So a lot of these kids are going to Alabama. They're going to Oklahoma. They're going to Clemson because they're winning. And Texas, the University of Texas, finally had a winning season for the first time in 4 years. In the Charlie Strong era, they had, I think they went 5-7, 6-7, and 5-7, something like that for 3 years straight.
Right.
This year was the first winning season. I think it was only 7-5 or something like that. So the coaching has to be better at these schools. The recruiting has to be better. And that's where we're going to see the state of Texas grow.
This is Leslie Juvenic-Air, Chief Happiness Officer at Leslie, Inc. When I'm not helping business leaders find their state of happiness, I'm listening to One Recourse Radio Podcast, the number one resource for business entertainment.
Gotcha. So ultimately, it sounds like this is like, if they find a way that keeps prolific players in the state of Texas, Texas sports will be back to where it needs to be, correct?
Yeah, finding a way to keep those recruits there. If you look at college basketball, what was phenomenal this year is for the University of Texas to get Mohamed Bamba. The top four recruit in the nation chose to go to Texas. I mean, he turned down the other top schools in the nation.
Right.
As far as basketball is concerned, he chose to come to Texas, and that's been monumental. It's getting those top recruits and sort of selling them on the idea that things will turn around.
Okay.
In the Big 12.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that sounds good. I mean, it sounds pretty simple, but I'm sure it just makes,
I know, right? Just recruit better. That's all. Hey, just get the top recruits. Just
exactly.
Go and get them.
Exactly. But I'm sure with the new help that they're bringing in, they'll find a way to turn things around. And hopefully, you know, Texas will be right back in there. From a notoriety standpoint. Not more so. I mean, because we all know, you see some of the best players, they're coming out of Texas. But from a notoriety standpoint, you know, you want to see Texas up in there. Because, you know, you watch the Texas play on Thanksgiving. You want to see them nationally ranked. You know what I mean? Right. It's kind of like you think about the University of Miami. For years, they were trash. And they were a powerhouse in the 80s and in the early 90s, up until like the early 2000s. But now they finally got back. You want to see schools like that back up. So we know that when they bring in help like they're doing right now, it'll hopefully turn for the better. They'll be in the story, and we possibly can see them, you know, in the late December games, the BCS championship games or BCS series. You know what I mean?
Well, specifically about the Texas Longhorns, I mean, what was disappointing in bringing in Tom Herman was Charlie Strong era, Charlie Strong was a defensive specialist, right? That was his specialty, and he came to the University of Texas, but he gave the defensive play calling to his friend, Vance Bedford, and he waited until it got too bad to take over the defensive play calling, and it was too late for the Longhorns then, and that's why he lost his job. Tom Herman is an offensive specialist. And unfortunately, it's flip-flop. The problem with the Texas Longhorns is the offense. The defense has been strong this year. The defense is what's kept Texas in close games versus USC, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. So on the offensive side of the ball, the Longhorns just can't get it done. They can't get the ball down the field. So hopefully, going into Tom Herman's second season, he can figure out how to get the right pieces on the offensive side of the ball and use his strength. I mean, he's supposed to be an offensive expert. So, expert. In offense.
100%. Okay. Well, I think that's great. That's a great insight. And overall, we just got to say, Crystal, that you really came here. You gave us the stone truth. You gave us all the information and knowledge. And in the last 15 seconds or so, is there anything you want to say to the listeners? Where they can find you, how they can plug in, and what they got to do to get access to what you got going on?
Sure. You can listen to the Stone Truth podcast on iTunes, Google Play, at Spreaker, or at crystalstone.com/thestonetruth. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at crystalstone_. And if you want to drop me a note, go to crystalstone.com onto the contact button and leave me a message, and I'll definitely get back to you.
There we go. So Miss Stone, we thank you for joining the show today. We thank you for blessing us with this information and knowledge. We thank you for your perspective. We look forward to having you back because you can't just throw one stone. You got to throw multiple. So we look forward to having you back on the show. Thank you so much, and we wish you all the best with your media career, and we look forward to supporting you anywhere we can on the One Request Radio podcast.
Thank you so much, Mitch, for having me. Dennis, it's been a pleasure as well. It's been so much fun. I love talking sports, so I love being able to do as much as I can for you guys. I really appreciate it.
There we go. All right, awesome. So for those that just tuned in, you just witnessed the One Request Radio podcast with Miss Crystal Stone of the Stone Truth. So, of course, just subscribe, www.onerequest.com/podcast. You can find the show notes for Crystal Stone, where you can find her, and as well as all the platforms that we're on as well.
So there you have it. You've been stoned by Crystal Stone. You've gotten great insight, good information. You got, hopefully by listening to this show, you would have an idea of what's going on for both her favorite teams, you know, the Mavericks, the Cowboys, you know, all of the Dallas position teams, franchise teams rather. And also you would give her take on the scope of both the NBA, the NFL, and the college arena in the state of Texas and all together. So we hope that not only were you informed, but you were also entertained. You were given good information, and it really just gives you a better appreciation for, you know, what's going on in the world of sports. So we thank you for tuning in. Of course, if you would love to be a guest on our show, part of our music committee on for our top joints in rotation, or you have a business you want to shout out or get on the show as well too, or recommend, just email us www.onerequest.com/podcast, and you know, we'll basically get to you as soon as possible. Either myself, Dennis, or one of our team members will get back to you as soon as possible. So we thank you for tuning in. We want to wish you a incredible holiday and New Year, and we'll see you on the next episode.